hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Good morning. You know, I admire people who have a really strong faith. It inspires me. I look at their lives and I think, wow, they've got so much character, so much integrity. When they're faced with a crisis, they seem to manage the crisis so well and it doesn't seem to faze them too much. Actually, even when they're in need, they have the grace and the resources and the wisdom to help those around them. You know, the Bible refers to those sorts of people that have a strong faith like that, as people that are blessed. In Psalm 1, the psalmist puts it this way. He says, "Blessed are those that avoid the company of the wicked, but delight in the law of God." And then in verse 3, it says this, "That person is like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither or dry up. Whatever they do prospers." And you may know someone like that, and you admire them, and you think, how did they come to have such a strong faith? Well, it didn't happen by accident. When we use the word blessed, or the biblical word, when it's used, the word that they are blessed, it doesn't mean to say that they are lucky. You know, sometimes we refer to someone as, oh man, they're so blessed, like they just came into an inheritance, or I don't know, they were lucky somehow in some way. Life just seemed to go their way. That's not what the Bible's talking about here. What it's referring to is people that have intentionally made choices in their lives to grow their faith and strengthen their relationship with God. And as they've done that, God blesses their life. There's things that go well for them around their lives. They're able to, for example, deal well with a COVID-19 crisis. And so in this series, last week, this week, and next week, we're looking at exactly that. What does it mean to have a strong faith? What does it mean to have this resilient faith that sees you through times of crisis? And obviously, you have to put some things in place before the crisis happens. It's when the crisis happens that you need that strength. Now, crises might bring out that strength of character that or that faith that someone has, but it's developed over a long period of time. It's an intentional choice that we make. Last week, Jonty looked at how one of those choices needs to be centering our whole lives in Christ. We can't just, you know, add on Jesus to the rest of our lives and go, well, that's my Sunday box over there and I worship Jesus then, but doesn't really affect what I do the rest of the week. No, Jesus has to affect every value that we have, our priorities, how we go about things, our motivations, our thinking, our heart. And when we do that, Christ becomes that hub of the wheel where everything else flows from there. So the first thing that we looked at that strengthens our faith is that Christ has to be integrated into every part of our lives. When we do that, we develop the strong Christ-like faith that will see us through difficult times. This week, I want to look at, again, like Jonty looked at last week, the Apostle Paul and how he developed this strength of faith as he went through his ministry life. The Apostle Paul had an encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. The story is found in Acts chapter 9. Where he's on the way to Damascus, but then a clear vision from heaven in the middle of the day hits him and he realizes that Jesus is real. He has a personal encounter with the God who created him, the God who has a purpose for his life. He responded to what God told him to do. He went into Damascus. He met with Ananias and some of the other disciples who encouraged him to seek God and to show him what that looked like. And as he did that, as he went on that journey, it was obvious that Paul became very receptive to and obedient to the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. When he had that vision, when he had that encounter with Christ, he didn't sort of brush it off and go, Okay, that was a bit weird. He actually took it on board in his heart and he went, right, I've got to do something about it. God is real and his power and his word and his presence are evident in this encounter. Well, that means I need to respond to that. And as he did, as he accepted Christ as Lord of his life, as he repented of the life that he used to live and follow Christ, he realized that the Holy Spirit was working in his life, that God himself was actually living inside of him. And as he asked God for more help in that regard, God changed Paul. And within a very short period of time, Paul was a completely different person than he was just a few months earlier. What did that look like? It looked like that personal encounter that changed his heart. And that's something that we all need. To have a strong, sustainable faith in our lives, we need to personally encounter Christ. It's not enough to just live off a belief system that we've previously held, or, well, I grew up as a Christian, or this is what my parents believe, so I suppose I better too. No, it's more than that. It has to go deeper than that. That's a good start, but there has to be a point where in your heart you respond to God. You reach out to him. You experience his presence. You experience him bringing revelation to your heart. And more importantly, you respond to that in a meaningful, heartfelt way. As we do that, we become receptive and attuned to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And for many of us listening to this today, you would have experienced that for yourself. And that's why you go to church. That's why you're part of a Christian community, because God has become real to you. And that's fantastic. It's the first step we need to make in that journey of faith. But there is so much more beyond that. There is so much more of God to experience. And so we find that within a short period of time, Paul now travels with other people from the Christian church and brings this message of hope to the world around them. And as they do that, it's obvious that they are seeking the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit all the way along. You see this period of Paul's life described in Acts chapter 13 through 19, where they are traveling around very busily setting up churches and preaching and teaching and so on and so forth. There's a passage in the middle here that gives a good snapshot of how God was guiding and leading them during this time. It's found in Acts chapter 16. So if you want to turn to it, I'm reading from the NIV. So Acts chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 6. Paul says this. Well, Luke actually describing what Paul did. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, what do we see in this passage? What we see is much more than an occasional encounter with Christ and trying to ascertain what God is saying and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That was in the past. That was what led them to this point. But now they are daily, almost hourly, seeking God. They're waiting on God. They're asking God, what do we do next? What is the next step? And as they go on that journey, they're constantly asking that question. And when they come across a roadblock or a difficulty, they're going, God, what does this look like here? What we see here is a daily commitment to seeking God. I learned this lesson somewhat through spending time with a guy called Graham Fawcett and another missionary friend who's since passed away, Steve Peace, who many of you will know. These guys, I just admire for their for their faith and their dedication to what God had called them to do with their lives, and still what Graham is still doing in Japan. And as I ministered with these guys throughout Asia, it was a pleasure to start off our day in prayer and be going, God, what do you have us do today? Where are we to go? Who are we to be in contact with? Show us in those conversations where you're working and what we're to say. And the discipline around this I really enjoyed, because in the West, we can be so quick to plan out our day and plan out our week to the minute and to the hour. And we can kind of easily plan out seeking God in there. But when we intentionally take time to seek God and wait on Him and listen to Him, it will completely transform our ability to be attentive and receptive to the Holy Spirit. Faith grows. Faith is made stronger when we are attentive to and receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit in us and around us. When we see that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, not just occasionally at an altar call or in a church meeting or a connect group or something like that, but He's always wanting to connect with us. He's always speaking to us. And He's speaking to us about daily things that we need to hear from Him about. And so a discipline that I've found extremely helpful in increasing my faith and my and giving some substance to my faith is giving some time every day to wait on God. Now, some days that might only be 10 minutes or so. Other days it's much longer. But I have seen the value of taking that time where I'm not reading the Bible. Yes, I've already done that, and that's a good thing. I'm not praying about all the things that I want to do or want God to do for me. I'm just listening. I'm just in a quiet time of reflection and going, God, I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to commit my day to you and hear from you as to what to do in my day. And if that's not a step that you've made in your quiet time or in your devotional life yet, I'd encourage you to do it. It will take you so much deeper. And actually, pastorally, I've found that in my pastoral experience and helping many people over the years, this has made a massive difference in how they deal with difficulties in their lives. For those who rely on church or rely on external things to help them through, and those things are taken away or reduced or restricted, like we're experiencing now during COVID-19, they struggle to deal with the crisis a lot more than people who have discovered how to personally encounter God and listen to Him on an individual level. And so what we see from Paul and his companions there is this commitment to listen to God every day, to spend that time where they tune in to what the Holy Spirit is leading them and guiding them to do. And when we develop that level of faith, we tend to do a lot more ministry and a lot more mission for God. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. And I do commend a lot of people in our church who are very much at this level of faith. They're the people that get out and reach their neighbours, that are doing ministry, that are praying for people, that are sharing their faith with people. Keep it up, guys. It's fantastic. But don't do it in your own strength. Do it with an ear constantly on the Holy Spirit. Do it where you're spending some time every day connecting with what the Holy Spirit wants you to do and listening to how He leads you and guides you. But that's not all. That's not all that's required to develop into that mature faith that we admire in those people that the Bible calls blessed. As we carry on through Paul's journey of faith, we see that in the latter chapters of the book of Acts, he goes to, it's almost like another level in terms of his commitment to God and the substance of his faith. And sometimes we skip over those chapters because they don't move quite as fast, or they're maybe not quite as gripping, and there's a whole lot more detail and background in those chapters. But if you take some time and read those chapters, you'll see a theme coming through. And let me give you just a couple of examples. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, where he's going to encounter a lot of opposition and then end up traveling all the way back to Rome. And he knows that this is going to be one of the last times that he meets with the church elders at Ephesus. So he calls them together and he shares with them what the Holy Spirit has shown him. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, we read this. This is Paul speaking to the elders. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." In other words, he's being led by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Wow. You know, he still carries on, you know. Imagine that. Imagine if God told you, "Hey, by the way, your ministry in the future is going to be lots of imprisonment, lots of hardship. People are going to be out to kill you." Not much fun. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. That task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, and if you want to read a bit more on that, read Philippians chapter 1, around verses 18 to 25. There he expresses the same idea, that he says, for me to die is gain. I've lived a purposeful life, and if I die, I go to be with my Lord in heaven. What could I want more? But he's got this tension because he also wants to keep living so he can keep living out the purpose that God has him here to do. But hardships, imprisonment, or even the threat of death didn't seem to faze Paul at all. How do you come to a place of faith and a place of strength in your relationship with God where even death doesn't faze you? I don't know if I'm at that level yet. I think many of us would struggle with that concept. But there are some keys here in looking at that, and I'd encourage you to do that this week. Read through those chapters in Acts, read through the book of Philippians, which kind of mirror about that time, and see what Paul's attitude and heart is like. It'll inspire you to greater levels of faith. And as I read through those chapters, here's a couple of things that I noticed. In Paul's life, there was incredible focus. He may not have done as many things in the natural, like set up a whole lot of churches and traveled as much as he did and had lots of meetings with people. Actually, as Jonty pointed out last week, you could have looked at his life and gone, "Man, Paul, what are you doing? You're spending all this time on boats and shipwrecked on islands and all that sort of thing." But in spite of wherever he was, whether he was in prison or on a shipwrecked boat or stuck on an island or testifying before political leaders, Paul was incredibly focused. He had abandoned all other things in life and has centered his life on one goal. And that's what substantial faith looks like. It isn't fazed by the distractions in life. It doesn't get distracted by all the other things that are going on. It focuses on, okay, what is God calling me to do? Holy Spirit, guide me in that, lead me in that, and let me do that really, really well. I don't have to do everything. I just have to do the one thing that the Holy Spirit is asking of me in this context, what I'm to do right here, right now. And as it turns out, Paul had an incredibly effective ministry despite being in prison. And for many of us, we would look at the circumstances around us and go, "Well, what can we do? Like, we're in this situation. I can't do ministry the way that I've done it before." But for a mature person of faith, their context isn't the important thing. It's their focus. and their focus is to consistently bring the kingdom of God wherever they are to whoever is ready to listen. And so for you this week, that could be as you're catching up with people by Skype or Zoom or on the phone. It could be getting back into your workplace and connecting with people. Whatever the future holds or whatever context that you're in, think about what is the Holy Spirit doing right here, right now, and how can I cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing? It's kind of like people that have this strong faith have almost a dual perspective in their life. They're still doing all the usual tasks that we would do in life, like we all have, that we're all busy doing. But it's kind of like they just bring Christ and the kingdom into everything that they do, because they've got this constant awareness of the Holy Spirit. They're always attentive and asking God, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? It's not just meeting with God once a day and listening to him. It's having this constant awareness right throughout the day. That's what a strong, substantial faith looks like. And that's what we see in Paul's later years of his life. So the first thing is we see incredible focus. The second thing, though, is quite intriguing. He's very relaxed. You get this impression that Paul just goes with the flow. Where there's the threat of, well, now we have to ship you off to Rome, he goes, okay. Now we have to put you in prison, he goes, okay, so be it. Nothing seems to faze him. He seems to care less about things that used to stress him out, or maybe not stressed out, but concern him previously. It is interesting, a good example of this is probably about 20 years ago now, when I was first working at South City, I was mentored by Don Ferguson, who I greatly respect as a man of God. And every couple of weeks, Don and I would catch up and for about half an hour or so, and he would just let me throw questions at him. And one of the questions I posed was, Don, how do you do ministry different now in your late 50s compared to 20 years ago when you're in your late 30s? And his answer surprised me. He said, well, I care a lot less. And I went, oh, what are you talking about? Shouldn't you care about God and his mission and his ministry and the people in the church a whole lot more? And he goes, oh, yeah, absolutely, Warren. I probably care more deeply about God and his work in my life and his mission and the people in the church more than I've ever done before. But I care less about all the peripheral stuff. What he is saying is there's a whole lot of things that happen in church life that can stress you out. Why is this person coming or going? And why isn't this person getting along with this person? And how do I sort my elders out who aren't agreeing, or whatever the particular crisis is at the time? And you can get so distracted by that that you lose your focus on what God's really called you to do and what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so there's what you see with people of a mature faith is a focused, that they are focused, but they've got this relaxed focus, if that makes sense. They're not stressing, they're not driven, they're not trying to prove anything. They know that they can just relax into the relationship they already have with God. And then in everything, if they're committing it to the Lord, and if they're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, it will all work out. And God's kingdom will advance, and everything will work out in the end. So where we started today was seeing that people of strong faith are blessed. It's something worth striving for. It's worth us all seeking to go deeper in our relationship with God. How do we do that though? Well, one of the ways we do that, as we looked at last week, is we need to put Christ at the center of everything. Where Christ influences our values, our priorities, everything that we do in our lives. But what we also see in Paul's life, and from these passages in the book of Acts, is that there's an attentiveness and a receptivity to the Holy Spirit that is so important in developing strong faith. And as we respond to the Holy Spirit, we will become changed. We will change. We will become more mature. And where is that for you today? Are you at the point where you sense that God is real, but you haven't actually done much about it? Are you going to make that commitment and choose Christ today? As you do, you'll have an experience like Paul, where God becomes real to you. God becomes personal to you. His life, His Spirit will fill you and empower you. You experience His presence. You experience Him giving you revelation in your life. You experience Him guiding you as to what to do with your life. And as you're consistently attentive and responsive to that, you'll grow in faith. If that's where you're at today, then make that decision. Make that decision to commit yourself to Christ. Ask Christ to fill you with His Holy Spirit. If you've already made that step and you can look back on your life and go, yeah, I know that I've personally experienced God. I know that He's changed my heart. But you're not taking that time to really listen on a daily basis to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Could I encourage you to build that discipline into your life? It'll make a world of difference. It'll help you grow in faith and help you see that God is actively at work in many areas of your life internally, as well as leading you how to effectively minister to others externally. So make that decision. Spend some time with God every day, just listening to Him. Might be a little bit hard at the start, but as you consistently do it, you'll find that God will speak to you more and more, and you'll become more and more receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're already doing that, if you are flourishing in ministry, if you've got that strong connection with Christ and feel that the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you every day, think about other opportunities that you haven't seen before that God may be guiding you into. Those relationships that you have that you didn't expect God to be working, maybe you can ask God to reveal to you how you to bring the kingdom of God in that situation. Because God wants to work through every area of your life. He's working in you and through you every day. Stay focused, stay relaxed, and stay committed to the Holy Spirit and being attentive to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. So I'm not sure which of those stages you're at or how far along you are at in that journey. But my overall encouragement to you would be this. Don't settle for where you are now. Keep pressing in for more, because there is so much more in God. And as we press into more, we will have a strong faith that will not only get us through times of difficulty, not only lead us into a place where we live a more blessed life, but we also influence many other people around us to come into His kingdom. So wherever you're at today, I pray that you would seek God for more. Let's pray together. Lord God, your Holy Spirit is always at working in us, working around us. And God, we confess that there are times that we just get so busy with life that we're not tuning into you. We're not aware of what you're doing and how you're doing it. But Lord, I pray that we'd take the time this week to respond to your promptings, to have that personal encounter with you, to ask for a fullness of your Holy Spirit. Even now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit fills every person here that's listening today. And Lord, as we come in to experience the fullness of your Spirit and your life in us, Lord, I pray that we would daily commit ourselves to listen. Have attentive ears to your Spirit and be responsive to how you're leading and guiding us. And as we do that, we'll see your Spirit moving powerfully around our lives. Lord, I also pray that you would help us see greater kingdom opportunities in our everyday connections with others. As we connect with those around us, Lord, may we have an ear constantly to your Holy Spirit. And as we listen and respond to you in each one of those situations, Lord, we pray for miracles to be unleashed, for your kingdom to be extended, and for you to strengthen us and change us. Bring us into the fullness of the life that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.